Lights, camera, action, folks. Murray throws. Touchdown, Arizona. DeAndre Hopkins. Quarterback draw. Murray, can he get there? Touchdown, Cardinals.
Welcome to episode 148 of the British Beardgang Breakdown. And for once, we actually have first quarter points to talk about in this game. But after that, well, you know, what more do we really have to say? Because it was just one of those games. So, yeah, as always, I'm Tom. I'm joined by Callum, and, you know, we're back here on Misery Monday once again. How exciting.
Yeah, evening, Tom. The Cardinals slide to 2-4 on the first sort of third of the season, I guess you could call it, with a really pitiful performance in Seattle just then.
Yeah, and, you know, just to think how well, I say how confident we were last week, you know, just to say, yeah, it was going to be two Cardinals wins here, but alas, not to be. And, you know, questions now, where do the Cardinals go from here, even though we do welcome someone back this coming week?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, last week, as you said, we were both confident for a win. But I did put in the caveat that if we were to lose, then there needs to start being some, you know, pretty big questions to do with that. And I think that we're definitely entering the official phase of pretty big questions, big problems for the Cardinals to solve. We'll get through those in the news. We'll discuss just what went wrong in the game. And then we'll get looking forward to the rest of the schedule.
Yeah. So I suppose we should kick off with some news, because I suppose we do have the big news that coming off that Seattle game, a certain DeAndre Hopkins is now free from the shackles of the NFL's stupid rules against drugs.
Yeah, indeed. Obviously, sort of the wrong end of a doping scandal was our nook. Whether you believe him or not, he's now served his 6-game suspension, eligible to return, and should hopefully be, you know, back to being a big part of this Cardinals offense. He was a huge part of it last year, arguably Kyler's favorite target. And due to some other news that we've got, obviously going to be a big addition at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we'll have to wait for him to get into football shape, given the fact that he's had 6 weeks off with only like limited / minimal training at the facility. Obviously, he can't get into football shape because he's not able to actually play football.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't expect him to be, you know, coming in just early doors in this in the coming game and be able to affect that straight away and be playing his best. But, you know, that being said, he's going to have to come in and step it up, and that's just part of the problem. You know, if you're going 2-4. In his absence, you're really going to hope that we're going to have a little bit of a better record in his presence.
Well, I mean, there was the, like, coming into this game, like, looking at the schedule the rest of the way, the Cardinals apparently had the easiest schedule going based on the strength of schedule and all that sort of jargon and bullshit.
That's an interesting way to phrase it all, because it doesn't look like the easiest schedule, does it?
It doesn't on paper, no, but the math says it is. So when is maths ever wrong?
Yeah, well, it's a fair point. But, you know, I think we've got, there's no games left for granted. And this week is an absolute, you know, perfect example of that. If you don't come ready to play, it's not going to go well for you, is it?
Oh, no, definitely not. But, you know, we'll touch on that as little as we actually have to in a bit, because, you know, we've got a bit more news to come.
Yep, indeed.
And obviously we're talking about one dreadlocked receiver returning, and coming into the fray is another dreadlocked wide receiver, because this afternoon / evening, Arizona Cardinals traded for Carolina Panthers wide receiver Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, for once the news breaks before we start recording. And yeah, Robbie Anderson coming over to the Cardinals after having a bit of a fight, it seems, with some of the Panthers coaching staff.
Yeah, there was a bit of a hoo-ha on the sidelines during their game on Sunday night, or Sunday evening afternoon, wasn't it?
Sunday afternoon, yeah. And then, yeah, Sunday afternoon, he has a fight with the Panthers coaching staff. And on Monday morning, essentially, he's being routed over to Arizona.
Yeah, and in return, the Arizona Cardinals are sending a... Did actually go through this before, but now the... So
it's a 2024 sixth-round pick and a 2025 seventh-round pick. So picks some way off in the distance.
Yeah, I mean, we've officially entered like NBA territory with that sort of trade, haven't we? Because they always like to trade like years and years in advance just to get like one superstar player to come on their team.
Yeah, it's a bit of an odd one. I was saying before we started recording there that I kind of hope it doesn't catch on, because with the NBA, it's really, really hard to keep track. And I hope that doesn't happen in the NFL. But, you know, it's fine. I can give up a sixth and a seventh round pick to address, you know, a position of need right now. And yeah, we need more people in it running at wide receiver, believe it or not.
Yeah, and obviously our condolences are with the small school pick in 2025 who will now have to find himself a new home other than Arizona.
Yeah, the small school middle linebacker or so.
I mean, he's an athletic freak, so I'm sure he'll pick on somewhere else, won't he?
A real alpha tag guy.
Gym rat, blah, 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 all that sort of hitching shit. Yeah,
exactly. No, I think, obviously, you know, it's obviously not great to have to do that, but it is a need right now, and I think hopefully bringing him over, he's a guy who's in football shape, so in theory he can make sort of immediate inroads. Obviously, it's just a case now of learning the playbook and the cadences.
Yeah, but I mean, if he looks at the Cliff Kingsbury playbook and he plays just the left-hand side, then, you know, he just has to run out routes, doesn't he, and curl routes and all that sort of stuff.
Exactly.
So Twitter tells me anyway.
Well, you'd be forgiven after watching Sunday's game, but there we go. What do you feel about the move? Do you think Robbie Anderson, do you rate him still?
I mean, he's just one of those wide receivers who just pops up every now and then making a decent catch or two. I mean, obviously he's in Carolina at the moment and Baker Mayfield's his quarterback, so obviously can't judge him too hard on that. But
I think it'll be interesting to keep a kind of closer eye on him, because I've had him in fantasy a few teams here and there, you know, just as a good player to kind of bring on and off the bench for a flex spot or a, you know, something like that. And, you know, he can fairly reliably score points, but, you know, it was my opinion that he was kind of not exactly washed up, but kind of the best of his days were behind him. So interesting choice, I guess, to bring him in at this juncture. But, you know, he was available. The Cardinals needed someone. We'll see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the pick didn't cost much. And salary-wise, I think he's only owed like I think it's $690,000 the rest of this season.
That's not bad, really, is it?
Yeah, and obviously team with as little cap space as we have, that sort of thing is welcome. Obviously, going into next season, I think his cap hit goes up to something like $12 million. So,
yeah,
probably like to see him stick around then. But
yeah, to me, this feels a lot more like a sort of single season patch up a hole now kind of roster move.
Yeah, and I mean, so we should move on to our final news item before we get on to the game.
I was just going to say one more thing about Robbie Anderson, and that is that he is a 6'3" receiver, which means he's approximately a foot taller than all of our other receivers. So we'll see if that makes any difference in his targets.
Well, I mean, as long as he's able to catch the ball, unlike our other tall receiver, AJ Green, you know, he'll be on to a good streak there.
But yeah, anyway, that was the final thing. So we've got one more piece of news to cover before we have to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, we could actually talk about these during that roundup, but I don't think we should. I think they deserve their own. Because of how big the magnitude this news is.
Yeah, absolutely. I assume we're now talking about the injuries.
So during the Seattle game, we saw Justin Pugh go down with an injury, something with his knee, which meant we had to have Max Garcia playing more than anyone ever wants him to play.
And then, you mean more than one snap?
Yeah, I mean, any one snap's too many in most people's eyes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, and now they're saying he could be out for the rest of the season with that knee injury, which may signal the end of his time in Arizona, given he was on a one-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think in some ways this is already starting to have a bit of an echo with like 2018-ish for me, when our offensive line was just falling apart at the seams, and we were just, you know, constantly having to change lineups all the time. So, because this is hardly the first time that the offensive line has been disrupted like this, but having Justin Pugh out for the season, that's a huge loss.
Yeah, I mean, there is the, I suppose, glimmer of hope that I think Cody Ford will soon be eligible to come off injured reserve, should he actually be healthy again. So when he does come back, that'll be a massive upgrade at left guard, especially with Max Garcia.
I think it's a real tough one, though, because when you're talking about offensive linemen coming off of injuries, you know, it's not like a position like wide receiver or something like that, where if all goes well, you're not going to get hit that hard. You know, if you're in the trenches, as former Cardinal AQ Shipley likes to talk about, you're in constant pressure all the time.
Well, yeah, exactly. And we were also down Rodney Hudson still, although I think he is edging ever closer to a return.
Yeah, I mean, that's not to say, you know, that we can't get to a more settled point with the offensive line later in the season, but this turmoil does not do well for winning games.
Yeah, especially like when you see Kelvin Beecham starting to struggle at right tackle. It's like,
yeah, absolutely.
When is it time for Josh Jones to come in there? You know, considering they see him as a guy for the future, why not just make the future now and shove him in there?
Yeah. It's a sort of, it's a tricky one, because you really don't want to make too many changes at once. But equally, is this the season to just say sod it all, like let's experiment and get it working for next season though?
Oh, no, I don't think it is. It's not easy. We shouldn't just throw in a towel just yet, because, I mean, the division's still within reach, I'd say, you know. Even though we're 2-4, it's like teams aren't running ahead with the division this year. You know, we're still
San Francisco and LA are both joint top. And Seattle. Everyone is joint in the division with a record of 500, which means that given the right week, we could quite easily, you know, jump up to a joint space with all of them, and then another right week and we can be ahead of them. We could be winning.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, the NFC West is pretty tight this year. And, like, you know, had we won this game, we'd have been the one who's joint top of the division.
Very true.
But there is another injury that we should talk about, and that is, you know, not one that we don't want to really talk about, because he's been a pretty good addition to the team through the first six games.
Yeah, Marquise Hollywood Brown, pretty much last play of the game, last kind of Cardinals offensive possession anyway, is sort of seen left on the sidelines, and then later on in the locker room, he's seen with a soft boot on, and yeah, it looks like he's going to be out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they have to do more tests and all that sort of thing, but last night they were saying, you know, he feels good, you know, x-rays came back negative, but, you know, possibly maybe looking at like a high ankle sprain, and, you know, those sort of things can linger like the whole season. They could clear up in a few weeks sort of thing, but
a classic, you know, Cliff Kingsbury day-to-day game time decision type of deal.
I know. I bet he'd have loved being saying that like every week, wouldn't he? Yeah, he's just, it could be a game time decision. Just leave the opposition guessing whether or not they'll have to defend him.
Yeah, exactly. But unfortunately, it looks like that's not going to be the case.
Well, I mean, so far it is only like people like Adam Schefter saying, you know, possible season-ending injury. So I suppose we wait until the actual doctors get there first, not the ones.
Yeah, I suppose every injury is a possible season-ending injury in some way or another, right?
I suppose it could all be career-enders if you want to be so like downhearted and all that sort of thing and over-dramatic.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, he's been excellent addition, and I think, you know, this is in a contract year, so I don't think it is the last we'll see of him in Arizona. We'll obviously have to work that out in the off season. Well, I mean, not us personally, but the ones with the money will have to make that work and hopefully keep him here in Arizona as long as Kyler Murray's here and as long as Cliff Kingsbury's here.
Well, I think it's undeniable the chemistry that the two of them have had in the first 6 weeks or so, right? Like, he's easily been one of the standout players on the team. And I think, you know, getting him back and healthy and in a good core of wide receivers where he wasn't kind of doing all the work himself, as it were, we really could have a good squad on our hands with that. So it'd be a shame to see him leave. But obviously, you know, the main thing now is that's it. You know, we're going to have to wait and see how this all plays out, but it might not be looking too good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he is obviously the two-time British Birdman Breakdown Player of the Game Award winner this season, so he won't be adding to that tally, should, obviously, the worst things come true.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, like we can still hope, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if he needs another leg, he can borrow mine if he needs it. I don't really particularly use them that much.
Fair enough. It's the postage costs that are the problem, though.
Yeah, I know. And also, you know, he might not like my leg. Might be a bit not his style. I don't know.
Right. I'll tell you what. How about we get on to talking about the game in the least painful way possible?
I mean, the least painful possible way of talking about this game is by not talking about this game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would say that there are still good points in this game to be taken out of it, but broadly the performance was pretty shocking.
Yeah, I mean, it all started so well, didn't it? Because, you know, for the first time in the 2022 season, the Arizona Cardinals managed to score points in the first quarter, albeit just a field goal, but, you know, heck, even hitting a field goal is an achievement with Matt Amendola at the wheel.
Yeah, good point. I mean, I think the drive that they had up to that point was not deserving of just a field goal, right? That should easily have been a touchdown drive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it starts off with Kyler Murray using his legs, you know, for what seemed like the first time this season.
Yeah, and I think that was a pattern in this game overall, right? This was a game where we saw that Kyler rushing and scrambling. Like, we saw a lot more designed runs for him, and we saw a lot more scrambling. So I wonder if, you know, there's been some change in the coaching that's kind of allowed that to happen. But he seemed a lot more dynamic in that regard this week than we've seen in the past 5 weeks.
Well, I mean, I'd say yes for the first two drives and then no for quite a while after that, because, you know, it was just one of those ones with the Cardinals, like, you know, every good thing they did, it was like it happened and then he just reverted back to their old ways where it was just like, oh, that's a quick three and out, let's put the ball away, let's put the ball away again, let's go for it on fourth down and not get it.
Exactly. And like that's exactly what you saw with that first drive, right? Like, that encapsulates it all, is like two or three flashes of brilliance, you know, a great Kyler Murray run, a great pass to Hollywood Brown. You know, the Cardinals get up to the 20 and then the drive just stalls. It goes nowhere. They lose the three and out very, very quickly. And then they have to kick a field goal. And yes, it's great to have not only the first quarter points of the season, but also only the second lead of the season. But ultimately you really should be coming away from 7 points from that, especially with, you know, a drive where just two of the plays counted for probably 60 yards or so.
Yeah, I mean, you did get down, was it, to the 1 yard line, but I think obviously that's where they miss guys like James Connor, because, you know, just hand the ball off to him and he'll just plough at him, basically. But I mean, they had, you know, Benjamin, and he had a few good drives in the game, and also rookie Keontae Ingram. You know, possibly he could have come in on the 1 yard line and tried to run it in, but not to be for Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, it was just, it was an odd set of play calls or whatever, but ultimately, you know, I think the running in on one is like one go at it. You've still got another two downs that you could have a go at it there before you need to kick. I mean, thankfully he chose to kick on that occasion rather than another go for it on fourth decision there, because we saw quite a few of them that just didn't work out the rest of this game.
Yeah, and I mean, you can't really hate him for going for it on fourth down, because, like you say, we saw last week Matt Amendola basically cost us a chance of that game by not being able to kick straight. And I mean, he managed to get one field goal this week, but that was literally a gimme. And then he did also miss an extra point. So it's like, where's your confidence in this kicker when he's not actually showing he can do what he's supposed to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think as I've said before, and I've been on record as a fan of going for it on fourth down, but I got to say, like, you know, the way that it was going in this game and the cadence of it made it just miserable to watch. You know, when you were thinking, like, especially for so much of the game, it really was within the type of points difference that kicking the field goal would have made a difference to how the scoreline at least felt, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was the point where Seattle, obviously they were only getting field goals themselves pretty much through the whole game.
Yeah, at one point, three quarters, wasn't it?
Yeah, because Jason Myers was my fantasy kicker, so I was happy to see all those points go over. But yeah, because, you know, it was like 3-0 to us, 3-3 all, 6-3, 9-3, 12-3. When it's like Cliff Kingsbury started to go for it on like fourth and four, when you're technically in field goal range, but yeah, not exactly in field goal range because Matt Amendola's your kicker.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's, I think, like, that obviously is part of the calculation that was made, right? Is like, you know, if you've got Matt Prater in, do you just take that field goal there? You probably do, to be honest.
I mean, if Matt Prater's your kicker, you're kicking it like any time the ball's inside the 50, aren't
you? Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, you know, like, just in those specific circumstances, it makes sense to go for it then. But yeah, just as I said, it just made it kind of miserable to watch at times. Then it was like, if it's not a three and out and a punt, then it's going for it on fourth and just giving up the ball then and there.
Yeah. And I mean, the Cardinals are one of the teams, I think they did say during the game, didn't they? They were like, the Cardinals are the team that have gone for it on fourth the most throughout the first six games of the season. And it's like, I mean, that's all well and good, but, you know, what would be better is picking up a first down on like first or second down.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like the amount of kind of fourth down situations where it would make sense to do that is the problem. Because I think the odd thing is that the Cardinals show this real flair, you know, like once in every eight plays or so. They manage to pull this like really good-looking, confident and exciting play out, like whether that's a big run or a big pass or something like that. But then they seemed to, throughout this game at least, lack those bread and butter plays, lack those, like, you know, little 6 to 8 yard passes over the top, those runs that get you 4 or 5 yards here and there, because so often it was like all of a sudden we're staring down the barrel of 3rd and 6 and it becomes 4th and 2 again.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, you know, Benjamin was picking up yards quite a bit on the ground, but then they just stopped using him.
Yeah, it's odd because he had, what, 15 carries for 40 yards or something like that. And that was just through, like, the first three quarters, and then he was just barely used again.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously it was nice to see him get a run out as the running back one. But, you know, he's got that sort of skill set, so just utilize it a bit more. Just, I mean, I don't know, it's just so confusing. You mean you've lost my audio?
Yeah, I just lost whatever you said just then. What do you want to repeat it and then?
Okay, yeah. So what I was basically saying is, yeah, so, you know, like, you know, Benjamin, like, he's got this like big skill set, so just use it more often, you know, like, get him in space like you would with Chase Edmonds last year.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't just, like, I don't know, just use him because, you know, that's the sort of thing we needed on the offense because, I mean, obviously Hollywood Brown had his big game. Not as big as he has done, but, you know, he was there. I mean, Zach Ertz, he made a few good catches. And he also
Zach Ertz was our leading receiver.
Was he?
Yeah, he had 7 receptions for 70 yards, whereas, believe it or not, Marquise Brown only had 5 receptions. If you're in Rondale Moore.
Yeah, but I mean, Rondale Moore gets these, like, stupid passes behind the line of scrimmage that don't count.
Well, Rondale Moore had 6 catches for 50 yards about, and Marquise Brown had 5 for 70. So, you know, that's a bit of a difference there. But, yeah, Zach Ertz was the most, you know, not necessarily most targeted, the most receptions is what he had.
And AJ Green did fuck all, basically.
Yeah, 2 receptions for 7 yards and about 4 footballs thrown in his direction that were nowhere near him. And you got to wonder whose fault that is when it seems to only ever happen to him.
He should probably turn around for the ball, shouldn't he?
Yeah, it's I don't know. There's something wrong in that communication, and I don't know. I mean, I have to assume that it's AJ Green's at fault there because Kyler seems to connect with everyone else okay, but there's, you know, it's not just that it's a really nicely thrown ball directly at AJ Green who then fails to catch it. It's that the ball's thrown to him, but it's 5 yards away from where he actually is.
Yeah, I mean, it's just frustrating, like, this offense. Like, obviously, 3 points was all they could muster because the other 6 points that the Cardinals scored came through the special teams unit.
Yeah, indeed. It's funny because I'm just looking at the box score here to remind myself of the game. But, yeah, you almost think, like, oh, yeah, they've managed to score another 2 field goals and get into for range again. But, yeah, that really is kind of, it's not the last sniff of red zone that the Cardinals got, but it's the last time they attempted to score points. We've talked plenty about how shocking the offense was, but I do think that we need to congratulate the defense here who kept the Seahawks. I mean, albeit the Geno Smith-led Seahawks, but they kept the Seahawks, who had a lot of possession, out of the end zone all the way till the 4th quarter.
Yeah, I mean, the defense was, once again, pretty much the reason the game was as close as it was because, I mean, they gave up the yards for, like, between the 20s, but, like, when it came into the red zone, it was like they just shut up shop and left them, leaving them with, like, field goal attempts.
Yeah, which is, then, I think pretty much all you could ask for them at that point, given how much work they were trying to do.
Yeah, it's a classic bend, don't break off it defense, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And it worked, right? It worked exactly as intended then because it just let them build up steam and then just immediately shut them down as soon as they got into field goal range. And it was, it was clearly working as intended with plenty of sacks as well, which is quite nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, they came into the game, was it as the NFL's worst team with sacks this season?
Yeah, lowest number of sacks total.
And then in this one, they just exploded and managed to sack Geno Smith
6 times?
It
was 5, I think. 2 for Zaven Collins, 1 for Marcus Golden, 1 for Cameron Thomas, 1 for MyJ Sanders.
That is 5, isn't it? I can't count. And it's literally right in front of me.
No, it's 5 total. It definitely felt like more, to be fair. I'm surprised number 99 didn't get in on a sack because he was all over it.
I mean, he blew up so many plays in the backfield.
He did, yeah. He had a great game as well. I mean, you know, number of, like, 71 tackles and,
I mean,
nine of them being tackles for loss. It's pretty good going.
And you say about JJ Watt, I'm pretty sure he had a sack in the game, but was that credited to someone else?
It must have been, yeah. I've got the box score in front of me, and he's not got a sack to his name. He's got two tackles for loss is what he's got.
I mean, there is one person you did mention there who will get another mention because he was the British Birdground Breakdown Player of the Game from this award.
Would it by any chance be Mr. Zaven Collins?
It was, yeah, the bust himself. Everyone wrote off coming into the season, and here he is, four games in a row now. He's played 100% of the snaps on defense.
Yeah. I got to say, I think between Collins and Zach Allen, I've got, like, you know, a bit of confidence about that as a sort of defensive pairing.
Yeah, I mean, quite a few people showed up in this one because, you know, we had Byron Murphy on. I think, what was DK Metcalf's stat line? Because he was pretty much covered by Byron Murphy the whole game, I think.
Let's have a look. DK Metcalf was held for two receptions for 34 yards. So that's nothing, really, for him.
That's insane.
This is the same pattern that this defense has shown for 6 weeks in a row now. They've managed to go in and take the one guy that we go, who are we most worried about, and just shut him up.
Yeah, I mean, that's just another to add to the list of guys that Byron Murphy's shut down. Like, the whole, I mean, it's going to do wonders for his contract negotiations when they come up. Because it's like, look at what his agent will be like, look at what my client's doing, you know, to these top guys. And it's like, yeah, pay the man. Got to pay the guy.
Once again, if we don't, someone else will, right? Like, and, you know, we can't be affording to lose any talent right now.
Exactly. He's a local kid as well. So, you know, I mean, I'm not saying he'll give us a hometown discount, but it's like, you know, you're just going to want to keep a guy like him around just basically anyway, aren't you? Because, you know, like we've seen cornerbacks, they've good ones. They don't come around a lot, do they?
Well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, like we've had that constant issue basically ever since we had the no-fly zone of 2016. We've just never had a really good compliment at that position. So, yeah, we absolutely have to pay someone when they show up and play well.
I mean, to be fair, I think cornerback two in this game was probably Antonio Hamilton. And again, didn't they have a guy called Tyler Lockett on their offense who usually gives us fits and nightmares throughout the whole game?
Yep.
What was his stat line?
Two receptions again, but this time only for 17 yards.
Exactly. That's just like,
yeah.
Who was their leading receiver? Was it a tight end or was it?
Noah Fant with six receptions for 45 yards.
And even, obviously it's Geno Smith at the wheel, isn't it? It's like, it's not an elite quarterback, but, you know, he's solid enough and he's managing to do a good job for Seattle this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of people making a lot of fun of him coming in, but we spoke about obviously the fact they managed to put up a good stat line and things like that. And again, like, I know that they're a trash team, but like, look how many points he scored on the Lions, right?
Yeah, look how many points the Lions scored on them, and then we score nine.
We score nine, but we only let them score 19, of which one of the touchdowns was, you know, in a lot of ways, it felt like a garbage time touchdown theirs. It wasn't, because the game was still very much open and we absolutely should have been on that. But it just had that feel of a garbage time touchdown, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing as well. You look at the like you say, they only scored 19 points. But if you look at like the last 1, 2, 3, 4, well, Raiders scored 23 points. We'll ignore the Kansas City Chiefs because they're the Kansas City Chiefs. But Raiders scored 23, Rams scored 20, Panthers 16, Eagles 20, Seahawks 19. So it's like the defense is doing its job.
Yeah, these are all easily manageable, winnable scores, right?
Yeah, I mean I'm not one really to criticize Cliff Kingsbury because, you know, he's our head coach at the moment, at the time being, and, you know, it is what it is. You could complain and bitch and whine all you want. It's not going to change until Michael Bidwell's going to make a decision, isn't he?
Yeah, it's not. But I think that decision is not, it's not being made for him in the sense of keeping Cliff Kingsbury right now. It's like, that's not the default state of things right now, because you know, ultimately Kingsbury's here because he's supposedly this offensive genius, but yet his offense can't seem to score more than 20 points a game.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the disappointing thing, I think, because like the defense is doing such a good job at keeping this these games close. But yet the offense is just not capitalizing on it whatsoever. And it's like, I mean, obviously they're short-handed, you know, there's no DeAndre Hopkins, but whether he's going to be the one to like change everything around, we'll soon see.
Yeah, I mean, I really hope that that's not the case though, right? I hope that it's not a team who have built themselves up in such a way that like the absence of one player is going to cause all of that problem, because ultimately look at what's happened in the 6 weeks since DeAndre Hopkins has been out. You know, we've had running backs go out, we've had you know, receivers go out, and who knows, maybe he won't last as well.
I mean, you don't have to say that, you know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm feeling vindictive after that one, because it was just, it's a game that was so in hand and so winnable, and yet, you know, we got one go at scoring points on the offense. And yeah, Luke, let's, you know, again, sing the praises of the defense. In fact, they outscored the offense twofold.
It's technically a separate unit, isn't it?
Special teams, that's very true, but yeah, you know, I don't think your special teams unit should be, and technically actually in that case, if you want to talk about it that way, technically special teams scored the kick as well, right? Which means that the offense scored no points.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I mean, the offense did get them into position for that. But
they did.
It's a team effort at the end of the day, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, it is. But I do think, credit where credit's due on that special teams play and the defense for pinning them into their own end zone like that. Because, that's a huge 6 points point in the game. And in any other, you know, sane universe, the Cardinals would have been able to come back and score, you know, at least another field goal to tie it up then, if not another touchdown to win the game outright.
Yeah, I mean, can we talk about that special teams play? Because it was just so weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, so were they trying to fake punt?
I don't know what happened. That's the thing, because it's like, usually a punter is like, it's a real smooth motion, isn't it?
Yeah.
He'll catch the ball, he'll punt the ball, we'll marvel at how far it flies in the air, but it just seemed to stop. Like, he just seemed to like pause for like one moment. And then so the next thing you know, it's like he's getting crushed by like four or five Cardinals.
To me, it's one of two things happened. Either it's a fake punt that they tried and he just kind of didn't have time to like get it up and make a throwing motion, or probably more likely it was a slightly botched snap and that he was just not able to get a good hold on it.
There's no way you're going to be fake punting from your own end zone, though. Surely. You don't even do that on Madden. Like, you're not going to do that in real life. Surely.
Well, you know, that's also the time to do it most when you're least suspecting it, right?
Yeah, but there's that, and then there's complete stupidity and lunacy. It's like,
it's almost certainly going to be a bad snap, but it definitely looked, it looked, the way he was holding it looked like he was going to go for a throwing motion, which is wild.
Yeah, I mean, like, if that was the case, it would be like second guess that coach. Don't second guess Cliff Kingsbury. It's like, you can see what he's trying to do. But, like, if you're going to try a fake punt and your punt is, like, at the back of your own end zone, it's like, what are you trying to achieve? Because, like, if that doesn't come off.
Yeah.
And then it's like, the Cardinals have the ball on, what, the 5 yard line or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I think regardless, you know, we've got to praise the Cardinals' special teams on this one, because that's an easy mistake for them to make, for you to then make a big mistake on yourself. And, you know, like, you could theoretically get them down for a safety, but they swiped the ball out, were able to get possession on it and make sure that they, you know, grounded that possession correctly in the end zone. And it's all too often that you see somebody in a similar situation get overexcited about it and, I don't know, bat the ball out the end zone or not, you know, not take full possession of the football before then and, you know, all that sort of stuff. Whereas this one, again, gets counted as a proper touchdown, which is really good.
I mean, before we finish off on this game, what did you think of Kyler Murray's performance in the game?
Gosh, that's a really interesting question. I think he made fewer Kyler errors. You know, the type that I'm talking about of the, I'll just throw it deep and someone will catch it. Someone will get it down the field there for me. The running and the rushing was back, and I think it seemed to do really well. Obviously, he had that one fumble after a rush, which was not a good look.
That's very un-Kyler-like.
It was, yeah. But, I mean, that's going to happen, right? Like, it's going to happen if you've got a quarterback who likes to rush. Once in a while, they're going to drop something.
I mean, did you not see the statistic about that? That was the first time he has ever fumbled the ball and lost it in a running play.
I don't doubt that goes back to high school or something like that as well, right?
I think it might just be in the NFL, but it's like most of the time when he's fumbling it, it's like it's just managed to like bounce like down and like someone's fallen on top of it. But that one, like the ball just slipped out of his hand, bounces off his knee, and literally goes straight to a Seahawks player, and it's like, damn.
Yeah, it was a really unfortunate one, and like I think that is just a natural risk of that type of play. And, you know, it's a low percentage, but it's like, that's just something that's going to happen once in a while. So I'm not too mad about that.
I mean, he did manage 10 carries for 100 yards on the ground, which, you know.
Yeah, that's like a reasonable running back performance, really, isn't it?
I mean, that's definitely the season high. To be honest, I'm trying to think of many games where he's actually had more than that while he's been in Arizona.
Yeah, I think 100 yards might be right up there with his high on you know, total rushing yards for sure. But that all that being said, I think that it's a bit of a crime to not be able to lead your team into a scoring position more than once in a game.
I mean, he had his opportunities because, you know, there was times when there was that time, wasn't it, on the where he just overthrew Zach Ertz, who was pretty much wide open in the end zone.
Yeah. But again, you know, like it's the NFL, right? You need to make that play.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need to make it work. And again, like I don't think it was a dreadful performance from him, but I don't know. I think this game was very winnable. And I think, you know, Kyler on his best day would have been able to find a way to make it work.
He did only get 5% of the vote, though, which is a shame. But, I mean, you can understand, I suppose.
And again, in a game when the defense dominated so much, it's good, obviously, to get a defensive player in on the player of the game.
And, I mean, we'll be back with another one before long because we've got a Thursday night football game coming up.
Yeah, indeed. Quick turnaround. Maybe we'll even do a quick podcast turnaround, but we'll see.
Yeah, but before we get on to that, we do have some fantasy football to talk about because, I mean, we don't want to talk any more about this Seattle Cardinals game, do we?
Yeah, I think this one definitely gets, sent to the bin along with many other games that didn't happen.
I will say, though, at least it wasn't the worst performance we've ever had in Seattle.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Although I'm struggling to think of a game when it was worse because that game didn't happen either.
I know, but we have to leave that bit on a positive note, and that's literally the only thing I could think of.
Fair enough, yeah. That's a fair end to it. But yeah, another game in the books, Cardinals 2-4 on the season.
I mean, it's not the end of the world, but, you know, we could sort of see something resembling the end of the world approaching.
Indeed.
It's very far in the distance, though. I mean, there's still weeks and weeks and weeks away before it actually comes to fruition, either way.
Yeah. Well, anyway, in fantasy, I might have an actual worse situation than the Cardinals on the go, because in the Bird Gang Bowl, I am currently 1-4, and I'm down. There's a few games left to play, or a few players left to play, rather, because Monday Night Football is coming up. I'm currently down approximately 20 points, and I've got Justin Herbert and Jerry Jeudy to play, and my opponent has another one of the Broncos wide receivers, so I'm interested to see how that one all shakes out, because best case scenario there, I go 2-4, Meanwhile, in the Dynasty League, I'm kind of in an opposite situation where I'm winning, this time by about 30 points, but I do also have Joe Burrow. And I am winning that one by about 30 points, thanks to big games from Joe Burrow and Chase Claypool, but we're still waiting on a couple players to set that one out.
Yeah, I mean, Monday Night Football this week is the Broncos again, because, you know, everyone loves to see the Broncos.
Well, the Broncos in primetime have such a good record this season, right?
I mean, I suppose it is the Chargers to play against, so we do have the... Not that we'll be watching anyway, but, yeah.
No.
Fantasy this week's actually gone pretty well for me, because I'm in four leagues, and I'm actually going 4-0 this week, because every single team has won, including the Bird Gang Bowl.
It's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, Bird Gang Bowl. I've actually scored the most points in the whole league as well, with 152.9. against my opponent, who is yet to score 100.
That's pretty impressive, going on that league scoring system anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I had big games for Ramondre Stevenson, Michael Pittman, and then obviously guys like Lamar Jackson, Saquon Barkley, they all chip in, Gabe Davis as well, Jalen Waddle, Devonta Smith. It's like, you know, absolutely. I feel good about that team.
Yeah, absolutely classic thing to have your best score of the season in a week when your opponent barely scores 100 points, right?
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like you've got any inactives or anything like that. They just haven't met their thingies. And
yeah, just not met their targets.
Yeah, so I'll be going 4-2 in the Birdland Bowl. Over in the Dynasty League, it was basically the toilet bowl this week, because I was 1-4 in 11th place. My opponent is 0-5 in 12th place.
But you won anyway, right?
Well, I mean, I haven't technically won just yet, because we've still got Monday Night Football to go, and my opponent has Gerald Everett, the Chargers tight end.
Yeah, never say never.
Yeah, but I am leading 161.7 to 139.96. So realistically, you'd be looking at, like, quick maths here, like 20-odd points from Gerald Everett, and let's see what his high this season is. His high this season is 17.1. So, I mean, I don't know. I could be bottom of the league by the end of by tomorrow morning, and if I am,
I suppose it's kind of a win-win for you in that situation, right? Because if you win, you at least get to brag about it, and if you lose, you're like, right, well, time to start tanking for that number one pick.
But I don't want to tank, because I actually quite liked my team this year. No. And, you know, everything's just falling apart. I blame Dak Prescott.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, are you doing any better at predicting games? Well, are you keeping up your good record in fantasy and predictions?
I am not, no. I mean, you know this as well, because we spoke about it beforehand. But, yeah, I have to rub it in that this past week I've scored 5 in the pick'ems.
Yeah, whereas I scored the lofty heights of 6. So, both of us having a bit of a dreadful week, but Tom having a slightly more dreadful week than me. And we've both got the same pick. We're both taking the Chargers going into Monday Night Football over Denver because, well, why wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly. It's one of those things. So either we'll score 6 and 7 respectively, or we'll just be, like, even worse, 5 and 6. But who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
No one's going to win a prize anyway, because if you do, the NFL UK wouldn't send you the prize anyway. Probably
probably not. After the prize is that the website looks worse next year.
Probably when you have it next year, we'll only have to do it biannually because of all the money.
Yeah. All right. Well, all of that business concluded. We've got a game coming up a lot sooner than usual. The Cardinals are moving to a primetime game, which is Thursday Night Football, to open up the next week of football, where we host the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously the Thursday Night slate of games so far this season has been woeful, you know, maybe to be kind.
Yeah, definitely been a bit of a shocking slate, especially I think culminating thus far in that Broncos game last week, which was just shocking.
I know, exactly. And like, how much did Amazon pay for all this?
Yeah, it's, you got to wonder. You got to wonder if they're worried about it, because I don't know about you, but if I was living in a time zone where it made sense to watch Thursday night football, I think I wouldn't be tuning in for a while anyway, because like, cause the thing is as well, is that actually, you know, to a non-Cardinals fan, this matchup is dreadful as well, right? Like, this is not an exciting football matchup when you consider all the teams who are actually, you know, good at the moment. The Saints themselves are what, 1-1 are they 1-2 they're 2-3 just like us, 2-4 just like us.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, they're another team that are a bit hampered by injury coming into this one. Like, obviously Jameis Winston's been out the past couple of weeks. So they've had Andy Dalton at quarterback.
Yeah.
But then he's been throwing to some guys he seemingly rounded up off the street, because Michael Thomas is out, Chris Olave's out. Who else? Some of the stars are out as well.
Jarvis Landry, is he in or out at the moment?
I think he's still, he's unlikely to play Thursday night as well. Yeah. So.
So yeah, they're throwing to guys like Tre'Quan Smith and Keith Kirkwood and Marquez Callaway. And, you know, it's like, I mean, we as Cardinals fans can hardly talk, right? Because like, with Hollywood Brown out and AJ Green missing in action, you know, to outsiders, people will be looking at our receiving core and going, who? Rondale Moore?
Yeah, but they also have Taysom Hill, don't they? You know?
Yeah, yeah, well, exactly. I think that's where...
Basically, what's his name? Chris Streveler on steroids, isn't he?
Yeah. You know, and on top of that, they've got, like, Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram and all of that as well, so...
But, I mean, the Cardinals have been pretty good against the run this year. Barring like a few big runs here and there, but like,
well, I was gonna say that Kenneth Walker ran all over us for some plays this game. I feel like it's almost as though they're really good at containing the run broadly, but then the minute that it goes, they've lost all control.
I mean,
and they lose, all of a sudden they lose 12, 15, 20 yards instead of just 3.
I mean, you say that, but he did manage 100 yards. It was only 97.
That's true. I think it just feels a lot worse, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, he had an all right game, considering it was his NFL debut, but...
Yeah. Whereas in this case, you know, we're talking about going up against a running back core, which is a lot more elite.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Kamara's had his issues with injuries. You know, Mark Ingram's not really the powerhouse he used to be, but can still... truck anyone, I suppose, on any given day. And Taysom Hill's just like a weapon, isn't he? Like, he can throw the ball, he can run the ball, he can, I think he catch as well.
I'm just a kind of all-round footballer, which is obviously like, yeah, just one of those big guys as well, like got a big frame to him, and you know, just the ability to get in space really nicely. So that's quite a lot of names, you know, that's quite a lot of big guys to, or big names, I guess, to shut down. But given our track record this year so far, you know, well, given our track record, one of the guys that we talked about who are just the nobody and wide receiver are going to put up 100 yards on us, right? But in theory, we should be able to shut down, you know, some of these running backs and things.
I mean, in theory, on paper, we should be able to. I mean, I'd be surprised if they managed to score more than 20 points on us.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be, you know, our big thing. And to be honest as well, if you look at their past games, their game against the Seahawks is a bit of an outlier when they scored nearly 40. But other than that, they've scored the last couple games. It's been 10, 14, 25. They scored that 39 on the Seahawks, and then they scored 26 against the Bengals. So, you know, our defense has been playing a lot better than that. So we should hopefully be able to hold them down to around about that 20-point mark. Whether our offense can get going against them, bigger question.
I mean, we do have DeAndre Hopkins coming back, which, you know, is always a welcome thing. But, I mean, the question is, what can he do on his debut? Like, how much... how good of football shape is he going to be in? Like, will he actually play in?
Well, that's a big question. I think you got to get him out there, right? Like, regardless, even if you plan to not target him, you got to put him out there as eye candy, right? At least for a few plays here and there, make him run some routes. And like, you would expect that even if he's not in football shape, he should be at least in good enough shape to go out and run some routes, right?
I mean, I'm sure Fingy, like, we'll see the Cliff Kingsbury press conferences leading up to the game, and they'll be like, you know, he's a game time decision and all that.
Day to day, yeah, classic.
Classic Cliff, yes.
But no, I'd be shocked if we don't see him out there for a couple plays here and there. The Saints defense being a bit banged up as well, as far as I understand it.
Yeah, I mean, they are down Marshawn Lattimore, who is their top cornerback. So, you know, DeAndre Hopkins could be playing a backup cornerback, which wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah. It's a shame that we're not going in with Hollywood Brown as well, because then we could really force them to spread it thin.
Yeah, I mean, that's a gutting thing, though, isn't it? Like, because we've waited 6 weeks into the seventh week now, and we're like, we've been saying all along, can't wait to see Hollywood Brown and DeAndre Hopkins on the field together. And then it's like, sods all. Yeah. Hollywood Brown's done something to his foot. And it's like, we're not going to see him this year on the field together. We'll have to wait till next year.
I mean, that's the thing. I think, like, even, you know, now if we're going to, we can hope that we're going to see him back at some point this year. But I think anytime you're talking about an injury that's apparently this serious, you're not seeing him next week, right? That's just not going to happen.
I mean, it depends, but like I say, we don't know what this injury is yet, do we?
We don't, yeah. But the way everyone's, you know, usually this talk doesn't come about unless it is an injury that which has a bit more seriousness to it.
Yeah. I mean, there is also news on the Saints that Jameis Winston probably won't be lining up in this game because he's apparently not coming back till he's 100%.
To be honest, it's Jameis Winston or it's Andy Dalton. You know, it feels a bit much in the same.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if they have Jameis Winston, then possibly that our chances of winning increase a bit. Because
well, because he's going to throw so many interceptions.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I mean, it's one of those things. It's like the Cardinals, again, like I say, they're coming at home for this one, aren't they? So is this going to be the end of their losing streak at home or not?
Oh, you got to hope so. I mean, that's now been over a year since they've won a home game, right?
I think it is, yeah. It's like just over a year, calendar year, since they last won at home. I can't even remember who it was against. But
I mean, it's now a 10 or 11 game streak. I can't remember which, but that's insane. You know, especially considering that it's not as though they've had a bad record that whole time. I mean, it's not been great, actually. Like, the you know, if you take the second half of last year and the first half of this year, but they've won a lot of games and they've all been away games.
I mean, I don't think it's double digits just yet. I think it's 7 or 8 losses in a row.
Is it? Okay.
So, I mean, it's pretty much nearly a full home schedule for the season, isn't it? So it's not good either way. Whatever you want to say to try and make it sound good. I mean, you can't really make it sound good, the fact that you haven't won a home game in a year.
Well, I mean, you can really see the effects of it as well, because there are fewer and fewer home support fans at home games.
I mean, it also depends as well, like, who's coming to town, because, like, if they're good travellers, people will just sell the tickets, really, because they can't be bothered to go and watch a losing team.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's, you know, people make money on that, and yeah, if it's going to be a miserable performance at home, then why would you go and spend your Sunday doing it?
And would you spend your very early Friday morning watching it?
I think I'm going to let this one pass me by until the morning, and then I will get up and watch it after that, because, frankly, I'll be getting up 1 or 2 hours after it's finished anyway. Just enough time for them to, you know, set up all of the highlight reels and things.
Nah, I'm going to be stupid. I mean, I've got work on Friday, but fuck it. I'm just going to be fucked on Friday. Who cares?
That's a classic for you, right? Just staying up for a horrible Thursday night game and then regretting it ever since.
You better make it worth it, though. Because, I mean, if not, you know, I'll just be in a mood all Friday.
So yeah.
Who cares?
But the question is what kind of mood do you think you will be in come Friday morning? Do you think the Cardinals are in for a win? Do you think they're in for yet another home loss?
You do realize who you're talking to here.
Yeah, I know. I'm well aware that you're going to predict a Cardinals win kind of regardless, we could be playing the Buccaneers or whatever, and you would predict as a win. But anyway, what's your score going to be?
Well, I'm going to go for the Saints to score 16, Cardinals 23, which includes some field goals because Matt Amendola was there.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go for 21-17 to the Cardinals. I think this is a probable, plausible win. But I think they're going to make it set an awful lot closer than we would like.
Yeah, but I mean, as long as it's the Cardinals winning when the clock hits zero, then who cares, really?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I'm gonna hold this one to the defense keeping the Saints to below 20 in the offense. In fact, I'm gonna even go further. I'm gonna say one of those three touchdowns I've predicted are a defensive touchdown.
I mean, it's plausible. It is Andy Dalton at quarterback.
Yep.
Do you go and put your neck out further and say who is scoring a defensive touchdown?
Oh, who I would like to do it. I mean, I would love for like Zach Allen or someone to get a defensive touchdown, but that seems unlikely.
I don't know. I mean, the amount of passes he breaks up, he could easily pick one off.
It's true, yeah, but it's so much harder to pull it down when you bat it like that. But I'm gonna go for a Buda Baker return. He seems to be getting a taste for it.
Yeah, I mean, he's always just tossing himself around the field, isn't he? So yeah, possibly. He is. I mean, if there is a defensive touchdown, I would like to see Isaiah Simmons get it. Just because, you know, it's Isaiah Simmons and you just want to see him do something. I mean, he does a lot, but, you know.
Yeah, fair enough.
Just give him a highlight play or two. He needs it.
Zaven Collins would be good to see.
Yeah, I mean, I'd take Zaven Collins' touchdown as well. But, yeah, I mean, if it's Zach Allen, I'd take that as well because my dynasty team has it.
I would enjoy Zach Allen getting a touchdown because I'd just love to see that dance.
You might have a special one for a touchdown, hopefully.
Yeah, just the same thing but more. Maybe it'll make the other one make sense, who knows.
Or maybe the whole defense will just do the dance.
Yeah, possibly.
In the end zone.
That would be good. But to see that first, of course, the defense needs a touchdown, and hopefully the Cardinals need a win, which we will be back next week to break down.
We will, of course. Or
perhaps later this week, who knows?
I mean, it depends on how it goes, I suppose. If it is a shitty game, we'll like just never want to talk about it again.
Yeah, if it's a win, we might get excited enough to just record over the weekend, but we'll see.
Yep, but that will do it for this week's episode of the British Bird Gang Breakdown. So as always, if you're not following us on Twitter, go follow us at British Bird Gang. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/British Bird Gang. And join a group at facebook.com/groups/British Bird Gang. Buy British Bird Gang merch at britishbirdgang.tmail.com. And of course, if you like what you listen to on the podcast, then leave us a review wherever it is you get your podcasts from. And that'll do for the plugs this week. So until next week, thanks for listening and goodbye.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.